Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Erica. So Erica, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. So my name is Erica Rankin. I'm based out of Toronto, Canada, and I'm the founder, and I like to say chief everything officer of Brodo. We make functional snacks. So we currently have our edible cookie dough bites in the Canadian market. So we sell in retail, and then I built the company direct to consumer. And then, yeah, we have a pretty big organic following. We've built a following of almost 300,000 people across all of our social media platforms over the past 3.5 years. And then on the side, I help other companies with their marketing strategies.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start Brodo?
So I competed back in 2018 in bodybuilding. And prior to that, I started to get interested in fitness when I was in university, and I decided, okay, like I like fitness, I like working out. How can I, you know, take it to the next level? Because I'm someone who's very extreme. So if I do something, I want to like do it all the way and do it as best as I can. And that's what this was for me. So it was kind of like a challenge. I wanted to do it to see if I could do it in the first place and then see if I liked it as well. So I had to break up with a lot of my favorite foods. Obviously, my coach didn't let me eat cookie dough and cake and cookies and all of these fun, you know, delicious things because I have a huge sweet tooth. And I started recreating all of these desserts in my kitchen and using healthier ingredients. Like I would use like maple syrup as sweetener, protein powder. I made like chocolate pudding out of avocado. And then this one recipe that I always used to make and share on my Instagram, because I had a health Instagram page at the time that had a little bit of traction, was these like protein cookie dough bites, and everyone loved them. They would recreate them. I'd get people messaging me all the time asking if I would ever sell them. So I never thought anything of it. I never thought that it would be like a business at all. I was working a 9-to-5 at the time, you know, didn't know anything about entrepreneurship. And then I ended up listening to an entrepreneurship podcast at my desk at my 9-to-5 and kind of got exposed to that life and then learned that it was a viable path that I could take. I quit my job. I went backpacking through Southeast Asia. I met entrepreneurs on my trip. I got home and then I sat down and was like, I want to launch a business. What should I launch? And then it came back to that idea because people wanted it. I'm really passionate about food, and there was really nothing like it in Canada. So that's where Brodo came from. And then the name stems from bros, you know, like I was a bro. I was very much immersed in like that gym fitness culture. And it was kind of just a term that everyone threw around. And that kind of explains what the product is. Like it's a protein cookie dough. So yeah.
Awesome. So what would you say makes you better than your competition?
So, I mean, here in Canada, the product itself, like there's nothing really super comparable. Like we just launched an improved version of our product and there's no artificial colors, no preservatives, no sweeteners, nothing like that. So just like the quality of the product itself, like it pretty much stands alone on its own on shelf. And then in terms of like the company, just like the culture and like the community that we're building, that's something that I like take a lot of pride in. Like my customers aren't just a number. They're not just someone who comes and buys my product and then they're, you know, they're good. They're my friends and I'm on there messaging them on Instagram or LinkedIn or TikTok or whatever, and, you know, engaging with them, sending them voice notes, sending them videos. I take pride in like taking care of them and then making them feel like they're more than just a customer. So I think that's something that we do really well. And then just like showcasing what entrepreneurship is really like. That's one thing that I kind of discovered throughout this whole experience of like building a business, because still to this day, I still don't really know what I'm doing entirely. And just like having that transparency with my audience, I think they really appreciate that. And there's more of an emotional connection. So if there is a product that comes onto the market that's cheaper, the same, whatever, if they try to rip me off, it's like, okay, well, they could go buy it. But because I have that more personable emotional connection with them, they're less likely to go switch to that competitor just because of that.
Makes sense. So, like you mentioned Canada, so are you in the US market currently and are you planning on expanding globally? It's like, what does that look like for your business?
So we've like run into a bunch of problems just because I built this company out of my apartment, first out of my car. I had $10,000. I bootstrapped it for 2.5 years, and the product's perishable, so it's refrigerated, and it's really, really hard to scale that into another country, yet alone even shipping across Canada. So what we're doing is we're launching shelf stable products in Q1 of 2024 in the new year. And then those will be manufactured likely in the US and then sold in the US. So it'll open up that market. It won't necessarily be the same product that's in Canada. Like, we do plan on expanding and launching this product out into the US, but we haven't really mastered our own backyard, so to speak. So it'll come, it'll just take a little bit of time.
Cool. So, how technology is helping your business right now?
Yeah, so 100%, just like social media. Shopify, like, I built my whole company direct to consumer for the first 2-ish years. I launched 3 months before the pandemic. So, my initial plan was, okay, I'll do farmers markets, I'll go and do pop-up events and trade shows, and everything got canceled. So I, was beside myself, and I was like, what am I gonna do? How am I gonna get feedback from customers? And so really, really focused on building my direct to consumer channel and just building that out. We built that to 6 figures completely organically, and that was through platforms like TikTok, for example. Like, it was just a great way to not only get visibility and virality, but also communicate with our customers. And people would ask questions like, oh, do you use I don't know, whey protein? No, we don't use whey protein, we're a vegan. Oh, do you sell in the US? No, we don't, but we're going to. Here's a wait list you can sign up to. Like, it's just a great way to communicate with our customers. Like, I'm super grateful for social media and what it can do. I don't know what it would have been like to launch a business like 15 years ago, even 10 years ago. It would have been completely different. It would have been a lot more challenging. And then in addition to that, just, like, when I got home from my trip in 2019, I Googled business workshop near me. I found a bunch of different business resource centers, and I drove out to the closest one. So, yeah, it's helped in so many ways.
Great. And in this whole scenario, have you ever thought about using AI in your business? Do you think AI can help your business, or you're already using AI to support your business and to improve it?
Yeah, I think there's a time and a place for it. I'm someone who I personally really love and care about businesses that have actual people that work in them, and they employ people, like, especially like, local employees, and building out like your community. So I think AI can definitely help in some areas. Like, I mean, chat GBT, like, I've used that before just to like get ideas and stuff. I've like looked at ways that it could be implemented into the company to help it, but I don't think we should be relying on it. And there's nothing better than communicating with a person in a business. Like, that's something that I really love and appreciate. Like, for example, there's a company called First Form. The founder of First Form, Andy Frisella, I'm in his business group, and we talk about this often. But AI is something that a lot of companies will get on that bandwagon, and they'll use it and they'll implement it. But the companies that are really gonna stand apart and do really well are the ones that are keeping people, because people really miss that human connection. And I think if you can keep that, even like, I sent an email to their company and was like, okay, when are you gonna sell in Canada? I'm sick of paying like duties, taxes, shipping, all of that. And a person emailed me back, and they're like, yeah, like, you're literally book a call with me here, and we can get on Zoom, and I'd love to talk to you, right? Or they like have employees like texting customers and stuff. And it's people, it's not AI that's doing that. And that's something that I really love and I really respect, and I wish more companies did.
That's cool. So in for this business, you said you are already using social media for the marketing. So is it you alone who is doing all these things, or you have delegated different duties to different personnel in your team?
Yeah, so it's been a little challenging because we launched into retail last year in Canada. So we kind of did a little bit of a lane change. Did D2C for 2.5 years, and the product's refrigerated. So obviously, shipping's very expensive. It's really hard to like sell a refrigerated product online. So I decided, okay, let's shut down D2C and focus on retail. And then even this year, we took a few steps backwards and fixed the product because I realized, okay, this product on shelf, it's too expensive, too many servings, some of the ingredients aren't, amazing. So we decided to delist those products and then launch new ones, which are now launching into the market. So we weren't selling for like 8 months out of the year. So it was really hard to market yourself and your product when people can't buy it. However, I do have one full-time employee and we kind of tag team and work together on marketing. So, I'm delegating a lot of the design work for Instagram, for example, engaging with customers and stuff on social media. That's not 100% me anymore. I have like another employee that manages that as well. So there are certain things that are being delegated. And then same with marketing and retail is a little different. Like we have demo companies that have to go in and do demos to build that brand awareness and get people for a trial to try the product.
Makes
Makes
sense. So,
sense.
you mentioned that you blew up on social media. So, could you just talk more about that? Like, what did you do specifically? I think it's like so many people struggle to reach people and to grow on social media. It's like, what did you do to really, I guess, like go viral on all these platforms?
I think it just comes down to consistency. And I tell this to everyone, and what is sustainable for you. And my friend, so I met this girl and she had just launched her business shortly after I launched mine. And I saw her on TikTok and she just blew up and she was getting hundreds of sales from organic reach on TikTok. It cost her nothing, just her time, right? And I had a little bit of an ego and I thought, okay, TikTok, this is in 2021. TikTok is for kids, everyone like during the pandemic was like on there, like you saw all these kids dancing, doing all this stuff. It looks kind of like lame in my opinion. And I'm a millennial. So, and I kind of swallowed my pride and like, I'm just gonna go on there and post and see what happens, Like I don't have money to do paid ads. I wanna like get scrappy and find other ways that I can get in front of people. And I remember I was posting every day. It took a little bit of time, but one video blew up and I remember waking up. I posted it late at night. I woke up the next day and I had like hundreds of, I think maybe like even 1,000 Instagram followers like come out of nowhere. I had tons of emails in my inbox from people in, Asia and like in the US and like, when can I buy your product? I can't buy your product. It was on your website. And I'm like, where are all these people coming from? And my TikTok notifications were turned off. And I went on TikTok and I realized, oh my God, this video has like 300, 400,000 views and it was climbing. It kept growing. And that was my first experience going viral. And then from there, I just realized, okay, like this is totally doable. I just need to ride the momentum. Cause I think what a lot of people do is they have that one viral video and they're like, I'm good. And they like, they chill out, whatever. But when you get that first viral video, that's the most significant time. Like you need to like ride that. And people are, they're seeing your page, they're going to your content, you're, in the top of their minds. You have to keep putting out a ton of content. So that's what I was doing. I remember just like hammering out like so many videos throughout like that whole summer, and staying very consistent with it. And I was able to build my company into a six-figure business just by organic marketing. I didn't really spend any money on ads. And I was a one-woman show basically doing everything myself. And again, like going back to looking at what my competitors are doing, like they're the ones that have money. They're the ones that are doing paid ads. They don't really have a face to their company. So I thought, okay, what if I like do things a little differently? And yeah, there's Brodo, but Erica comes with Brodo. So when you see Brodo, you think of Erica because, she's front facing, like the founder, building in public is what they call it now. So that's kind of the mentality that I took with the marketing is I had to like stretch a dollar, and I'm very grateful that I had to do that because I think it's so much more impactful when you are doing something and you're very transparent and you're building a community that way instead of just throwing money at, paid Instagram ads or Facebook ads.
So, what would you say is the biggest challenge that you're facing right now in your business?
Honestly, there's a lot. I think like it's just hard to scale, that's all. I'm in this really awkward phase where we're doing like in food and like in manufacturing and stuff, you have minimum order quantities. So we're just barely scraping the surface with that just based off of our distribution. And now we're launching nationally across Canada. We just got some really big national listings that I like can't spill the tea on just yet, until we're on shelf. So I'm like trying not to like, tell everyone what we're doing just yet because I'll get in trouble. But I think it's just scaling and going from like, you can't really be in that middle place. You either have to like be small and like grow small and have like this, kind of mom and pop style company where you make like a healthy living and, it's maintainable. Or you go the other route where it's like, okay, I'm gonna fundraise money, I'm going to get massive distribution, I'm going to grow, I'm going to, you know, export product into the US and then get out that way. And that's the route that I chose to go. And we're just wrapping up like our first raise. So now I have investors, and it's just scaling has been like a huge learning curve for me, for sure.
Awesome. So what would you say, like you mentioned, it's getting into a certain store. What would you say is like your top priority in the next 3 to 6 months?
So I would just say like really get a solid footing in distribution like out west, because we like probably I would say by the end of the year we'll have like an additional couple hundred stores that we've added in. So we just had products go to our west distribution center with our new distributor like last week. And then this week, like this I wish I could show you, but the new product, we literally just launched it like over the past month. So it's this new learning curve of like, okay, like making sure it gets on shelf. Samples are getting to retailers. You know, there's just like all these moving pieces, or, you know, like, I guess for me, it's just creating brand awareness and getting people to try the product and making sure that the velocity is where it should be, i.e. like, number of units per store per week, because every retailer has a different number that they want you to hit. So just making sure that we're hitting that and we're getting on shelves in all the stores that we should be in.
Makes sense. What would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
It's going to be really hard and you're going to need a lot of money. I think those are like the two things. I never understood getting into food. I'm like, oh, you know, like you go to, as a consumer, you go into a grocery store and you see, oh my God, chips are like $6 now. And they used to be $5 or whatever it may be. These brands are like gouging us or whatever. And you think that they're pocketing so much money, but there's so much that goes into it. Like retailers take 40%, distributors take 25%, brokers take 5%. You have like when the brand's on sale, 15%, you know, like when you see a product on sale, it's not the store that's taking the hit, it's the brand, which that completely just changed my whole perspective on everything. So I thought that I would be making a lot of money, and this is like the least profitable industry that you could possibly be in. So I think just, yeah, understanding, I wish I knew more about the financial aspect of it, and that it's going to take a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. To really, you know, make a profitable business in this space.
Completely makes sense. So in your business right now, is there something that is simply non-negotiable for you?
In my business, is there something, I mean, the quality of my product, I guess, like I'm not willing to compromise on any of the ingredients or anything in there. Like every single product we put out, you know, like I am someone who really cares about my health and my fitness, and you know, I'm not willing to put preservatives in my product to have a longer shelf life or make it shelf stable. I don't want to use cheaper sugars. Like we use maple syrup and dates as a sweetener in our product. So there are shortcuts that I could have been taking, but I just, those are non-negotiables for me. And then from a personal standpoint, like I have daily non-negotiables. So I have to work out for at least 45 minutes every day, whether it be like getting outside or like going to like yoga class or whatever. And then, like just like taking care of my health and eating meals, you know?
That's good.
That's important. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for Roto?
So in a year, I want to be in at least 1,000 doors across Canada. So that's kind of the trajectory that we're going after. And then I also want to be in the US. So Q1 2024, we're going to have shelf stable products available direct to consumer manufactured in the US. So I really want to build out a really strong foundation for a direct to consumer channel, and just have like a bigger, better community. And that's kind of what we're building right now. There's a lot of moving pieces, and it will be very interesting to see where we're at in a year, especially once we open up the US market, just because like I think 54% of our followers on TikTok are American, and we have like a wait list of thousands of emails that we've collected over the past few years from US customers that have just wanted to purchase but they couldn't. So I'm super curious to see what that does for us.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website and social media handles, or just best way for somebody to get in contact with you?
Totally. So we're Eat Brodo on like all social platforms. And then Eric Rankin on LinkedIn. And our website is eatbrodo.com. And we have like a wait list there that we're building. And we're going to launch some exciting things very soon. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, Erica, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully in a year from now, we can chat as you guys keep growing your company.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, that was
All
great.
right.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, bye. Enjoy your day. Nice
Thanks, you too. All
meeting.
right. All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.